Welcome to Wild Utah, the podcast of the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance. I'm Dave Pacheco. As a fan of wild country, you're probably well aware that as the Biden-Harris administration gets underway, we're entering a crucial yet exciting time to address the most pressing issues facing the natural world. Recently, we got some much-needed and welcome news. On Wednesday, January 27th, President Biden issued an executive order outlining the administration's goals to protect 30% of the nation's lands and waters by 2030 as part of a broader climate package. The dual goal and the dual necessity is to address the climate and extinction crises together. In this episode, we'll explain what this order does, and we'll dive deeper into the significant contribution that passing America's Red Rock Wilderness Act would make to attain the lofty goals of 30 by 30. Our guest is SUA organizer Terry Martin. Welcome, Terry.
Thanks, Dave. Happy to be here.
First, can you explain what the executive order that President Biden recently issued does?
Let me frame this up by explaining that scientists tell us that to mitigate climate change and to prevent the mass extinction of species, we need to preserve 30% of the Earth's lands and oceans by 2030, with the ultimate goal of protecting 50% by 2050. And in response, a global initiative has emerged called the 30 by 30 campaign. It's a campaign that has wide and increasing support by scientists, conservation organizations, and political leaders in the U.S. and around the world. So on Wednesday, President Biden issued an executive order that commits his administration to the goal of conserving at least 30% of our lands and oceans by 2030. As a first step, it directs the Secretary of Interior to submit a report within 90 days recommending steps the U.S. should take to achieve that goal.
Wow, that's big and exciting. So tell us, how does America's Red Rock Wilderness Act fit into those goals?
Well, here again, let me back up and explain that SUA spent some time over the last 9 months when we were pretty much deathbound during COVID to work with some scientific experts on two reports. One is a peer-reviewed report by Laura Hilberg at EcoAdapt, which looks at the contribution passage of the Red Rocks bill would make to mitigating the climate crises. And the other is a paper by conservation expert Kim Crumbo, which looks at how the act can move America closer to 30 by 30 and address the extinction crises. And what we found is that America's Red Rock Wilderness Act makes a significant contribution on all these fronts.
In light of that executive order on 30 by 30, tell us about the specifics on how America's Red Rock Wilderness Act fits into this 30 by 30 campaign.
So getting to 30 by 30 is like putting together a puzzle. It requires many different pieces, from designating more wilderness to creating more national parks to establishing more open space. And all those pieces are important. But America's Red Rock Wilderness Act offers a particularly helpful piece of that puzzle. First and foremost, this is because the Red Rocks Act would protect one of the largest remaining expanses of unprotected wild country in the United States, specifically 9 million acres of land. In fact, the Red Rocks Act alone accounts for 1.5% of the remaining land that needs to be conserved to reach the goal of protecting 30% of land in the U.S. by 2030. That's a big piece of the 30 by 30 puzzle for just one proposal. But equally important is the fact that passage of the Red Rocks Act would increase landscape connectivity in the region. Such connectivity is crucial to mitigating the extinction and the climate crises.
Explain that. What is landscape connectivity?
Well, I think the best way to do this is to imagine in your mind a map of the Intermountain West, and you will see that our existing network of protected lands, our national parks, our wilderness areas, our wildlife refuges, appear on that map as fragments of land that are largely isolated from each other. And the sad reality is that these isolated fragments are simply not large enough to sustain a healthy diversity of species and habitats. And as a result, the distribution and numbers of many wildlife and plant populations in the U.S. has declined, resulting in the loss of biodiversity and the increasing risk of extinction. Now, climate change has made this situation worse. So what we need to do, as the 30 by 30 campaign recognizes, is to protect more land. But as important, we need to protect large landscapes that connect ecosystems and wildlife habitat. And that's what the Red Rocks Act does. So let's go back to that map in your mind's eye. And you can see that lands in America's Red Rock Wilderness Act lie about midway along a chain of largely natural landscapes that stretch from Mexico to the Canadian and Alaskan Arctic. This chain of landscapes is sometimes called the spine of the continent, and it includes iconic places like the Grand Canyon, Yellowstone, Grand Teton, and Rocky Mountain National Parks. What our research showed is that passing America's Red Rock Wilderness Act would increase landscape connectivity between these landscapes. More specifically, passing America's Red Rock Wilderness Act would conserve five key wildlife corridors that facilitate wildlife moving along the spine of the continent between these areas. These wildlife corridors serve as critical lifelines for deer, elk, pronghorn antelope, bighorn sheep, black bear, mountain lion, and potentially wolves. So the point is that protecting lands in America's Red Rock Wilderness Act would not only move us closer toward 30 by 30 by protecting a big chunk of deserving country, it would also increase landscape connectivity in the region and conserve five wildlife corridors that are critical to sustaining wildlife and ecosystem health in the spine of the continent region.
Wow, that's very interesting. And you said that our research also looked at how America's Red Rock Wilderness Act could more directly mitigate the climate crisis. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, absolutely. So one important contribution is that passing America's Red Rock Wilderness Act will protect what is known as climate change refugia. Climate refugia are areas that are buffered from exposure to rapid changes and climate extremes. They are important because they buy time for animals and plants to make genetic adaptations over longer timescales and to make gradual shifts in their ranges. These are things that are necessary for plants and animals to adapt to a changing climate. Scientists believe there is a substantial climate change refugia on lands in America's Red Rock Wilderness Act, because these lands include areas with high topographic and geophysical diversity. And I would say action is essential because we are also told that 70 to 80% of refugia in the Central Basin and Range and Colorado Plateau ecoregions remains unprotected. So lands in the Red Rock Act become very important.
So another important aspect of climate change is carbon emissions and the reducing of those emissions that's so critical. It's a huge part of the climate action agenda. Tell us a little bit more about how this research addresses carbon emission problems.
Yes, absolutely. The research by EcoAdapt produced some very interesting findings. So as people know, to address the climate crisis, we must both drastically reduce the emission of carbon into the atmosphere while simultaneously removing carbon from the atmosphere. And EcoAdapt's research shows that America's Red Rock Wilderness Act makes a significant contribution on both fronts. First, reducing carbon emissions. Carbon emissions are the big culprit in climate change. And to address this problem, the Paris Agreement created something called the climate budget. It identifies the amount of carbon that can be released into the atmosphere before global temperatures reach more than 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. That's the tipping point into severe and irreversible impacts. The goal is to live within that budget. So passing America's Red Rock Rule Act would contribute significantly to this goal because it would keep fossil fuels, oil, gas, tar sands, oil, shale, coal, in the ground. Specifically, it would permanently keep in the ground greenhouse gases equivalent to 5.7% of the carbon budget necessary to limit warming to 1.5 degrees. That's a pretty big contribution for a single land protection area.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. So what then is protecting the lands in American Red Rock Wilderness Act? What does it do for removing carbon from the atmosphere, kind of the other half of that equation?
So protecting lands in America's Red Rock Wilderness Act also helps to take carbon out of the atmosphere. And this is called sequestration and storage. And it's done by plants and soils. There's been a lot of attention to the role that tropical rainforests play in sequestering and storing carbon. But it turns out that dry land ecosystems make a significant difference too. EcoAdapt's research shows, for example, that if the plants and soils in America's Red Rock Wilderness Act are left undisturbed, the amount of carbon stored in those plants and soils would increase nearly 10% by the end of the century. Pinyon juniper forest, shrublands, and even desert biocrests all play a role. That is why protecting desert wilderness, like lands in America's Red Rock Wilderness Act, is an important piece of the nation's climate policy.
Well, I keep finding myself saying, wow, you've really given us a lot to think about here today, Terry. And I know that developments on these fronts are happening fast. We really appreciate you taking time to fill us in on some of this detail. And thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome, Dave. It's a pleasure.
You can find the information and read the reports that explain the role of America's Red Rock Wilderness Act in addressing the climate and extinction crises at SUA.org. There, we graphically show this role in maps and an easily digested brochure. Feel free to use and share this information with friends, interest groups, and while working with activists to meet with members of Congress, with the Biden administration, and decision makers anywhere. We thank you for doing so. Wild Utah is recorded at SUA's main office in Salt Lake City on equipment purchased through the generosity of our members. SUA is primarily member-funded. Over 90% of our revenue comes directly from individuals who care about protecting Southern Utah's Red Rock Country. We're proud of that because it keeps our voice independent. If you'd like to help protect Wild Utah today, please head to SUA.org and click the donate button. Thanks for your support. Wild Utah's theme music, What's Worth, is composed by Moab singer-songwriter Haley Noel Austin. Post-studio production and editing is by Jerry Schmidt. To stay informed about current events at SUA, visit us at SUA.org and click on Get Involved to discover how you can join the movement to protect Wild Utah. To receive information and alerts via text message, text the word Utah to 52886. That's the word Utah to the number 52886. Follow the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance on Facebook, on Instagram at Protect Wild Utah, and on Twitter at Southern UT Wild. And be sure to subscribe to the Wild Utah podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. Visit SUA.org/podcast for additional ways to subscribe and to access our archive of previous episodes. On behalf of SUA, I'm Dave Pacheco. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We hope you can join us for the next episode of Wild Utah.